is the Disaster Recovery Hour. Here's your host, Chris Plunkett.
Good afternoon. It's the Disaster Recovery Hour. Your host, Chris Plunkett, every Tuesday between 1 and 2 p.m. here at WVNJ 1160 a.m. The Voice. It's raining again on us out there across the whole region. I'm sure, I, as well as myself, I got a bit of an anxiety going. I do have the generator, however. I still got, I think I said it last week, hit like some of my folks down in the off the Oakland and the Ramapo and Westfield, Little Falls, and Passaic and things like that. But enough to, you know, there goes the molding, there goes the sheetrock 2 feet up, and there goes the carpeting. It's just too much water. I mean, what can you do? Generators and preparedness. You can, when it comes to that, you know, we're always advocating preparedness on that program, and that's what we do. But, you know, when Mother Nature just rears her ugly head like that, I mean, it's really kind of hunker down and do the best you can possibly do. But I'm very fortunate. You know, it's just stuff. I did hear a story. You know, I've been rather busy. It is my line of business to do flooding and disasters and unfortunately tragic things to people's properties. It's my that's my day job. But I haven't kept up enough on the news. Really been preoccupied with work, so I haven't read the paper. Really not listening to the news. Pretty absorbed. But I did hear a story yesterday. One of my clients who suffered 8 feet of water in her in their home, had to go to a funeral last week, and it was for the EMT that first responder EMT down there off the Passaic. I don't have the info, but my heart and thoughts go out to that family. I would rather not say it, but it's a shame. Here's a volunteer and helping his fellow citizens, and he perished, and that's. That's a tragedy in its own. That's a disaster in its own right. I just wanted to say that. But let's get back to what's happening out there. Some of the things that I think you guys got to be aware of is there's got to be more people. We can't wait to finally look at our insurance policies. You know, you can't wait to the wolf's at the door and then say, you know what am I covered for? What I'm not covered for? A lot of the brokers that I work for, some of my business is through insurance companies and brokers and management companies and individuals who already know me personally that I'm in this line of business. I try to get some of them to come on and talk about it, but they're so overwhelmed with their clients and that's their job one, not to come on the radio show. But to finally look at your policy when Irene is hunkering coming down the turnpike, it's not the best time. So that preparedness end of it, and there's a lot of us out there. I got to tell you, there's a lot of us out there. And if I wasn't in this line of business, maybe I wouldn't have looked at my policy. But I am so prepared as best as possible. I try to do a pretty good. My wife would like me to be even better, but that's just friends and wise anyway. So looking at the some pump riders and inside your policy, some have $5,000 caps, some have $10,000 caps, and people say, well, what do you mean cap? What does that mean? Well, it means okay, it overflowed or you had no power, so there's big failure, if you will. Failure is kind of a generic term, and my understanding from perusing policies over the last umpteen years. So the water gets into the living space, affects moldings, carpeting, flooring, whatever, drywall, personal property, kids' toys, exercise bikes, treadmills and such. Now, the $5,000 or the $10,000 includes everything, meaning dry yourself up, get rid of all the building material, non-salvageable stuff, throw out the non-salvageable personal items, and then put back everything. And if you can do that for $5,000, great. I've advised many people what they can do to help themselves when they've come to their homes or the $10,000. You know, the average basement, in our area, Westchester, over here, the northern counties of Jersey, Long Island, it's building materials are expensive, labor's expensive, and I shouldn't say expensive as much as this is the neighborhood we live in. We all live here, and there's a prevailing wage and that we adhere to, and basements and family rooms and things like that. I could let's just say the last couple of years, the number of ones that I've repaired or I work with a firm who handles it is that you know, it's $10,000 at a clip, just no problem at all. Forget about your TVs and forget about the couches and the sofas. So knowing what's inside that policy is key, and you know, that's why asking you know your broker, or if you get a company policy, the State Farms, the Allstates, and things like that, you know, you kind of ask those agents, say, you know, what do I have? And when you're going through it, it might be boring in the middle of the summer, whether it's beautiful out and you want to go out and do things. But looking at you should really see what you're covered for, and it should be accessible. Those types of papers should be accessible, so you can retrieve them in a time of a disaster, an emergency. I'm going to talk about it, you know, further at the end of the show, some more of that policy stuff, and also about, you know, renters, you know, people rent homes, people rent apartments, you know, you're renting, do you have renter's coverage or you don't? Does the person who owns the building or the house that you're staying in, you're renting from, do they have insurance? There's been some eye-opening experiences over the last week and a half. People have realized and come across the board of saying, you know what, guy didn't, you know, or whether it's truthful or not, a couple of apartments down in the Hudson County area and a couple of homes up here in the north part of Passaic and Bergen County. So those are also things that need to be looked at. The assumptions are you know, you would just assume, like, just like having car insurance, you know, the guy's driving down the road, you figure the guy has car insurance. But we're going to go to break and go to our first guest today. It's Terry Winters. He's a Federal Emergency Management coordinator and director. Now he's in the private sector, but he's going to be calling in, and we'll take a station break and be right back.
If you missed part of today's program or you want to hear the show again, you can do so with the Disaster Recovery Hour podcast. Just go to www.drhradio.net, enter your email address, and the show will be delivered to your inbox. Keep you and your family safe by getting information on being prepared with the Disaster Recovery Hour podcast, available at drhradio.net. When disaster comes into your life and attacks your property, you need action fast. CPP Emergency Services and Restoration will find the visible and hidden damage caused by a fire or flood. With quick response and correctly applied damage mitigation protocols, CPP can save you valuable time and money and get you back in the game of life. Anytime disaster strikes, quick, focused action is what can save your property. CPP's professional staff is on call 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. To reach CPP Emergency Services and Restoration anytime, visit them on the web at www.cppems.com. That's www.cppems.com, cppems.com. CPP Emergency Services and Restoration, servicing the New York Metro and Tri-State area.
Do you know that there are some emergency shelters that have no emergency backup generators? You can be prepared and have your own emergency generator for your home and business. Hi, I'm Dan O'Brien from Academy Electrical Contractors Incorporated, a full-service electrical contractor servicing the tri-state area since 1981. Our specialty is generators. We give you a complete turnkey installation, service your existing generator, rent you the temporary machine for that planned shutdown or that unexpected power failure. Academy Electrical Contractors can install a generator to protect your family and business from a power grid failure. Power your heating and air conditioning system, keep your refrigerator and freezer running, power your well pump, or power your sump pump. Visit us on the web at academyelectrical.com. That's academyelectrical.com. Or give me a call at 877-SPARKIES. That's 877-772-7597. Academy Electrical Contractors, generating satisfaction 24/7 since 1981.
In the early hours after the tsunami, it was ham radio that was on the air, saving lives. When Florida was ripped by hurricanes, the hams were there. In the critical moments after the attack of 9/11, it was the hams who coordinated emergency messages. When disasters strike, the hams are ready. Ham radio works when other communications don't. To learn how you can become a ham radio operator, call the ARRL, the National Association for Amateur Radio, at 1-800-326-3942.
Welcome back, Disaster Recovery Hour, every Tuesday between 1 and 2, WVNJ 1160 AM, The Voice. Also, if you want to punch in a comment to one of my guests, past guests, future guests, guest of guests, drhradio.net. That is drhradio.net, drhradio.net. Today on the phone I have, he's taking some time out considering the Irene rolled through our area and now it's raining heavily again, is Terry Winters. He's a Federal Emergency Management Director now in the private sector. He's a liaison now for the agency. Terry, you there?
I am, thank you.
Oh, so Terry, you're out on the island, but you you do consulting, if a liaison, if you will, for both Jersey and New York City, and obviously out there on the island, you previously were with Nassau County Office of Emergency Management. Yep. You hold several degrees. Also, you were a lieutenant in New York City Fire Department's the EMT, the Emergency Medical Service Division of it.
That's correct.
How many years were you in the FDNY?
20.
20 solid and out after 20?
Got out.
And so you got your degrees. I see Homeland Defense and Security.
Yeah, the Naval Postgraduate School.
All right. Now, what made you go into that end of it? You wanted to continue with the first responder? I mean, it's in your blood.
Well, it is. The Naval Postgraduate School has this great program that the Homeland Security developed, and it's all about learning about terrorism, how we're going to battle terrorism moving forward in our nation. And these are the nation's leaders coming together to get these degrees, and it's a phenomenal program. And it's been my passion now since 9/11. I was so close to it, and it's something that I will continue the rest of my career and working through all these counterterrorism efforts that I can.
Yeah. You know, let's just touch that for a few minutes as the 9/11. Unfortunately, Irene comes to town unexpected and not wanted, right around the corner from the 10-year anniversary of 9/11. And I don't know if I've been trying to get the word out regarding the World Police and Fire Games that are happening in the city with 90 different countries, 15,000 athletes, you know, first responders, law enforcement, EMTs, fire department personnel coming in, and there's like 50 different athletic programs that they're doing, boxing, basketball, wrestling, all types of stuff. And you know, Irene comes to town, and I was going to volunteer,
yeah.
So I had my name up on for volunteering, whatever it may be. You know, passing out this or that, the other thing, just to, you know, to help out, you know, help the guys, help the women. And I've been so slammed because obviously what I do for a living is dealing with floods and disasters like that. It's a real shame that it's kind of, you know, the 9/11, and you know, it's 10 years. You want to pay tribute, and you have your people. Yeah, now you have people who were just over inundated on both sides of our area, deep Long Island's in the middle, the boroughs here in Jersey. They can't get out of their own way because they have nothing left.
It is pretty bad in how it's impacting some of the businesses. And it's ironic that during 9/11, I worked for the New York City Mayor's Office of Emergency Management at the time, and we were at 7 World Trade Center. So I saw firsthand, witnessed firsthand all of that unfolding in front of me that day. And it still sticks with me, like I mentioned. But one of my primary roles during that event was working with the private sector. And I was a planner with the Emergency Management Office, but I was also a liaison from the mayor's office to a lot of the businesses in Manhattan, and how it played out was just writing on the wall how things were going to come together and all the exercises and drills that we were doing during Y2K, and then some of the stuff was actually coming together following 9/11 and how contingency plans were put in place and how hot sites were used and how access issues were addressed in lower Manhattan. So here we are 10 years later, and it's ironic. I was having a conversation with a buddy of mine on a phone. And he's working in this disaster right now from another perspective in New Jersey. And we work together at New York City OEM. And here we are trying to get businesses back into their areas that have been cordoned off because of flooding. 10 years later, we're still doing it, still working with the private sector.
Right, and it's and you know Andy Weitzberg,
yes,
from the Long Island chapter ACP. That is a continual, I'm not saying battle or fight, but to get people on the contingency side of, you know, keeping their business up and running, because, you know, like I've said numerous times, and you're very aware of this, you know, the checkbooks, there's no money left. You know, you really got to take care of yourself along these lines.
Exactly. There are the companies that do have an invested interest in doing some of this, and I think that's about to pay off. We haven't heard much yet because everyone is busy right now, and these businesses have an impact. It's still bailing out, still trying to assess their footprint of where they are and what their building looks like and where their employees have been infected, because homes have been destroyed and displaced, and their employees are now feeling that as well. So some of the companies that took an invested interest in doing some exercises and drills and having communications with the local emergency manager, getting involved with a business group, that's so key, and it's such a good investment that we're hoping that we're going to hear some good stories that has all paid off.
Talk to me about the VOAD, the different branches. I've been doing this a while. I have not. It's a volunteer organization after disasters. Is that just new, or has it been around?
No, VOAD has been around for a number of years, and there's different chapters throughout our nation. And what they do is, and that's its own discipline. And I have people that I work very closely with. That this is all that they focus on. At FEMA, we have somebody that deals with them, and corrals all these volunteer agencies, from faith-based communities to Red Cross, Salvation Army, the ones that we know, and there's a lot that we don't know about, smaller ones, and they're eager to help. And we're about to see, we think, some of these volunteer groups, Southern Baptists happen to be a big one, mm-hmm. who actually come up and come into your area. And I personally was working with them during 9/11. They went into people's apartments and started dusting and cleaning to make the apartment ready for the people to come back. Quite a mission that they're on. Again, these are volunteers, and they just want to become active, just how the acronym says, in disasters. And they just come and they go to work, and they're willing to put their lives to a side and spend a week, 2 weeks, or a month fulfilling a mission just to help people recover from a disaster.
Which is amazing, because I remember seeing them downtown. I worked for another company that does what I do now, and we were heavily entrenched in Battery Park City, and we also handled St. Paul's and Trinity.
Yes.
We had a continual cleanup crew, if you will, to assist you guys who were working the pile and such.
Yeah.
It is amazing that, you know, I read an article about how people have kind of like forgotten, or the article was kind of like spun in a negative way, that, you know, we went back to business, we forgot that 9/11 happened, and people, the outpouring of volunteerism has dwindled drastically. But there's a lot of good that still, there's a lot of
people step up. People step during a time of disaster. It's amazing what people will do when things like this happen to help out their community. It is so true.
And I don't think that gets enough ink in my book, at least.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. And one of my roles, I mean, I work for FEMA, so I'm the private sector liaison, and I'm working a lot with businesses. And my region is New York, New Jersey, and I'm fortunate to have Puerto Rico and the Virgin Islands. It's another good area to go to do business. But so that's my response area. But I'm not only working with the businesses, I'm working with the not-for-profits and these volunteers who are a part of this. We're also working with the Indian tribes in our region before, during, and after a disaster. There's a lot of players that come into face when we get hit with a disaster that nobody realizes what a support team there is out there to help out.
If you just joined us, it's Disaster Recovery Hour every Tuesday between 1 and 2. This is WVNJ, 1160 AM. The voice on the phone today is Terry Winters. He's taking some time out to get the word out. And Terry is a Federal Emergency Management Director. Now he's a liaison from the private sector. And like Terry was talking about, getting in these NGOs, non-government organizations. You know, a couple of my guests many, many months ago, a couple of young guys who went down to help out in Haiti and try to join up with some of the NGOs. But there's the way certain NGOs work, and they have to do this. One of them actually said, "We'll send you back home to the States to train you for 2 weeks." It's mm-hmm. like, "Well, here I am. I have 13 years as an EMT. I'm in a hospital. Why do you want to send me back?" Do you see is there a collateral issues like when NGOs get all together and you have to decipher?
Well, I mean, I'm not really getting into that level. Again, there are people who deal just with that. But in any discipline like that, even with police, fire, and EMS, we'll have to be trained in an interoperable way. And that incident command system that probably most people are familiar with, everyone has to work in a framework, or the disaster, you're going to lose control of it, and people are going to get hurt. So and the VOEDs are very big into dealing with that. But again, there's a whole group that works out of my office and at the state government and the local governments that deal with a lot of these volunteers to do just that.
Yeah. I mean, life and safety is number one. But then, as you said, you know, the contingency planning for business. The larger companies, I guess they have more disposable cash, but I think like the mom and pops, in my, just again, my opinion, but do you see it, is it difficult to convince, hey, listen, you need to be part of this group?
Yes, and that small to medium business is the hard market that we're trying to hit right now. I mean, you try and tell a dry cleaner or a pizzeria in a strip mall that he has to have some type of a backup plan and maybe think about having a generator come in. They just don't have the resources to do this, nor the time to do this. They're trying to stay afloat in this day and age with just keeping their business going. So, yeah, convincing those types of groups. But the advice that I can give to them, that the smallest little piece I can give to them, is get connected. Get connected to your emergency manager, to a business group, a chamber of commerce, whatever it is, just to somehow that you can learn about what's happening with the disaster and how it impacts you by going to this bigger organization who's sending out the message. And I have been sending out messages since Hurricane Irene was a hurricane and before it was a tropical storm hitting us to a lot of chamber of commerces in New York and New Jersey. Just on, be ready. We're getting weather intelligence that this thing is going to be bad, and send this out to your members. ACP is a big receiver of my emails, and many other Chamber of Commerce types of groups and business umbrella groups are receiving my messages and sending out to their members. And I'm happy to hear that some of these members are those small to medium-sized businesses that I hope are getting these emails, and if they're just reading it to become in tune with what's going on, then I think we're beginning to, you know, win them over. They're understanding that there's a support group out there for them.
You know, the little mom and pop, as we say, we classify in our country, you know, in a time of disaster, and I'm definitely affected by this, is, you know, I go to the same place to get my coffee every day, right? Actually, I drink tea now. But anyway, you know, I don't wear a skirt. But but you know what? The other day, it was early. Usually they're open by 6, but it was on Monday, and I figured maybe they'd be closed, and they weren't. Mm-hmm. They had a generator, and it was good. You know that normalcy after a disaster, you know that people want, you know, they get back to normalcy.
Yes.
And you know, to get that cup and to get that bagel, so I can go to work in the morning. You know, it's part of your part of your routine.
Yep.
And I can understand. You know, the pizzeria. I know that I got some crews working out in Fairfield. You know, the lady said, you know, you guys are working hard, but can I get you some pizzas? I'm like, oh, good. The pizza place is open. He said, oh yeah, he was open the whole time. Mm. You know, that thing really is a moral victory.
It really, and we look at it from FEMA, from our director Craig Fugate. This is the whole community. This is where that pizzeria, the deli, and the things that make up a community almost have a responsibility to the community to keep it running, to keep it a community. I mean, there's a social responsibility that we all have, and that's part of what we're trying to convince these businesses that you are a part of the economy of your local community. If you can keep those people employed in your local business, well, you're keeping a paycheck going, so that person can now go buy supplies to put a repair kit together for their home, put a go kit together, those types of things. So, yeah, there's a whole community approach that we're trying to convince these businesses out there that, you know, if you're in a community, your business is in a community, well, you got a responsibility to keep the community going.
Mm-hmm. So we got to go to a break in a couple of seconds, but let's just start the conversation about people filling out paperwork for assistance.
Yes.
I've seen some good signs. You know, you go up and down, or you know, LIE, you go down the Turnpike, the Parkway, out over the BQE, whatever, you see on the digital readouts, you can go to this center and fill out the paperwork.
Yes.
Is that something that you're also part of?
That's what we're coordinating, and I have to thank one of the companies that does these billboards, electronic digital billboards. They have stepped forward to help us put the message out. Clear Board Communications is the name of the company, and they're out in New York and New Jersey displaying this message about disaster assistance. Yeah, so that's what we handle. FEMA has a phone number, which I can give up, and a web address, and we also work closely with SBA, the Small Business Administration, to try and get people back up and running again.
You know, we talk about strip malls, but you just talked about with the small business. You know, here's the news from Fox News about some nut job in Carson City went to an IHOP. IHOPs are, some of them are freestanding, but some of them are in strip malls. Okay, here's an example. Now, the shooter incident shuts down that IHOP. That's shutting down the mall.
Yeah.
You know, a week's investigation. There's the pizzeria who needs his walk-in traffic, a haircutting place, bagel place, whatever. You know, it's those that, again, that goes back to that contingency planning. I know you don't want to think about, as a business owner, a guy who flips pizzas and so or burgers and such, is thinking about someone coming. But it happens. It's the world we live in, and it's more frequent than ever.
It is. It is, unfortunately.
You know, regarding the filling out the paperwork, when we get back, we'll talk about, actually, I know it's the digital signs. But you know, from loans to grants to who can apply, who can't apply.
Mm-hmm.
If we don't want, let's just get again more intel for the common man out there, or,
sure,
or fellow citizens. We'll go to a break. Be right back with Terry. Thanks.
Disaster comes into your life and attacks your property, you need answers. CPP is the answer. CPP is a full-service emergency services and restoration company. With 25 years of experience in emergency management and restoration, their seasoned team of skilled professionals is ready to assess damages and restore your property to its pre-loss condition. Who do I call first? What about insurance? Is it safe to stay here? What do I do next? Fire, smoke, water, or mold? CPP restores your property and your peace of mind. CPP Emergency Services and Restoration, they've got answers. To reach CPP Emergency Services and Restoration anytime, visit them on the web at www.cppems.com. That's cppems.com, cppems.com. CPP Emergency Services and Restoration, servicing the New York Metro and Tri-State area.
I know it's tough to hear me with this firefighter's air pack on, but it's the only way I can be in this smoldering pile of ashes that was my office. And I could get in trouble, but I hope you won't make the same mistake I did, since at least one in four businesses that suffer this type of loss never reopen. So here goes. Just 3 days ago, we sat in this melted wreck of what used to be a conference room, talking about how good things were. Over there was the tech room. The fire's bad enough, but the water damage really gets me. Look, here's an article describing us as visionaries. I should have done our disaster plan, but with everything else, I just didn't see this coming. Visionaries, huh? Well, the good news is, at least the ashes can't burn down.
There'll always be a few fires to put out around the office, unless it's not around anymore. But when you have a disaster plan, you can adapt, recover, and stay in control. Go to ready.gov and make your company's plan. Ready.gov. It's never too late to protect your business until it is. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Homeland Security and the Ad Council.
Do you know that there are some emergency shelters that have no emergency backup generators? You can be prepared and have your own emergency generator for your home and business. Hi, I'm Dan O'Brien from Academy Electrical Contractors Incorporated. A full-service electrical contractor servicing the tri-state area since 1981. Our specialty is generators. We give you a complete turnkey installation, service your existing generator, rent you the temporary machine for that planned shutdown or that unexpected power failure. Academy Electrical Contractors can install a generator to protect your family and business from a power grid failure. Power your heating and air conditioning system, keep your refrigerator and freezer running, power your well pump, or power your sump pump. Visit us on the web at academyelectrical.com. That's academyelectrical.com. Or give me a call at 877-SPARKIES. That's 877-772-7597. Academy Electrical Contractors, generating satisfaction 24/7 since 1981.
And we're back from a little station break. WVNJ 1160 AM, The Voice. This is the Zoo. Terry's on the line. Terry's a federal emergency management director and now liaison from the private sector going into the FEMA's side. Terry, just real quick, I want to answer a question from Lisa.
Sure.
Are brokers usually knowledgeable on replacement costs? Lisa, yes, they are. They're your broker. They have all the best interest in mind for you. I would call your broker, and they will definitely have intel. follow up what we were talking about, business continuity and having the nearby incident that just happened up in Carson City. Now you got the Carson City sheriffs is saying they shut down the whole area.
Yeah.
So now you got a lockdown. Now let's just say the one is a small manufacturing firm that is actually making whatever that people here on the East Coast need because Irene just rolled through. This guy's getting shut down.
Yeah. Yeah, he's going to be out of business for a while. But, you know, it's a local incident. It's a local, it's a disaster to them, but it's just a local incident. And unfortunately, it's a temporary thing. And hopefully, they'll be out of that within a day at most.
Right. But, you know, you go with a transformer in a strip mall. Instead of being real dramatic, not dramatic, but what happened just right now with this nut job. But let's have a transformer explode, shuts down the mall, and then the effect. 30 businesses. So, like you said, and Andy, some of the other guys that have had from ACP is you know, small or big, you have to have some form of plan to generate the dollars. You need, again, what you talked about, how small it is for the person that works in town to get that paycheck, to go get some supplies or,
yep.
or go to the ShopRite or go to the wherever store that you get your food. And that is all part of the big picture. And also, before we went to break, we want to talk about how do we, some of these people with the grants, SBAs, can you expand on that?
Sure, a little bit. Again, there are very specific rules and guidance with SBA and the Small Business Administration loans that are going to be coming out because of this disaster. And that's its own show in itself, believe it or not, because, again, this is a very specialized area, and it's case by case. But there's a lot of detailed information that their representatives can go into. But we work with a lot of different agencies, and SBA particularly now will play a role with us as funds are being, you know, not released, but, you know, funds are now being looked at. So where are funds going to go? And one of the first things you need to do, and everybody thinks because you're a homeowner and it doesn't impact your business or vice versa, but you have to go to the FEMA.gov website and you have to register all the information that you have on your business if you want to make a claim. Now, you can't make a claim for individual assistance, and this is the category that this falls under. So there's two categories, individual assistance and public assistance. Public assistance goes to the governments. That's the money to help them recoup from managing the disaster. And then there's the IA, individual assistance. So the number, also the phone number is 1-800-621-3362. And there's also a TTY number that's set up, 1-800-462-7585, in the website FEMA.gov. There you will find disaster assistance forms and links to go to fill out and register. That's even before you start considering the SBA loans that you may be eligible for. But again, SBA.gov is another great source of information, and they have a phone number, 1-800-659-2955, and they're set up to help people out. So again, it's a matter of identifying what your losses are, where you stand right now with your business, and where you're going to go between your policy, and where you're going to go to get federal assistance.
I mean, the National Flood Program, underwritten by FEMA.
Yes.
Right. People have flood insurance, but one of the things that they don't really say, okay, flood insurance, and they leave it at that. You really need to look at it and what the parameters are in the flood insurance.
Yeah.
It's just not arbitrarily, flood, we're covered.
No, again, the policies are written very specific, right. And thank God there are people that deal with that. Each state has an insurance agency representative that works through the government, mm-hmm. who is in force right now trying to answer a lot of these questions and more or less give you rights as a policyholder so you're not getting taken for a ride by insurance companies. But yeah, it's very specific. Some policies are written up down to a lot of detail, and some are just flood insurance and then you think you got it, but no, there's a lot more to it.
Yeah, combination, and it can get in a time of these specific times. You know, you're vulnerable. You're not thinking straight. Even the most prepared person who gets overwhelmed with this can get crushed.
Yes, you have to be very, very careful right now. And one thing I hear that a lot of the businesses that I've been talking to, they've been taking pictures before and now after. And I was surprised to hear how many businesses really thought. Take pictures before the incident occurred. It's just good forethinking. And
that's
I think
correct.
That because they had some good thought about, doing the contingency plan. So they went around and took pictures of their stock and whatever you know valuables that they had in their businesses in case it was destroyed.
Yeah, I that's an excellent point. And one of the things that we as a restoration emergency service restoration business, well, a collective, my company, anyone's company, you got to take photo documentation.
Yep.
So and it's great, you know, making. I always kind of advocate about you know look at each room and just jot down what you have in that room prior to it, you know, for the next time, because you never know, it could be a next time.
Yes.
I'm on at least a dozen homes that I've been in there twice already for the last 3 years. You know, and they've
repeat
gotten
offenders, yeah.
And they did. You know what? I spend a little extra time getting. You know, it's not about just banging out jobs. It's never been my MO about it. It's always been, you know, a little education could go a long way along about preparedness. So it's you know, some of the homeowners have really adhered to some of that, and also the .govs. You know, getting that intel. I mean, the social media is fantastic for that nowadays.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Now, the new apps that are out there, does FEMA have an app for people like
yes,
that?
Yes, there are. You go to the FEMA website, and they just released prior to, for National Preparedness Month coming up, or in September, there was a host of things that they were releasing for as far as apps. And yes, there are things that are available right now that you can go to our website and download.
Mm. There's a question from Dave. I don't know if you can have an answer, but do we know just how much it's going to cost us, the taxpayers in the New Jersey, New York, Connecticut area, to recover?
Now, the assessments are still underway. Literally today, the New York City is getting their preliminary damage assessments done now. So these numbers will trickle in, and the way they trickle in is as people come in to get loans and to get assistance, that's the assessment that's actually occurring at a deeper level. So, no, those numbers won't be tallied up. And again, there's a dollar total that we get from the governments, what it costs for them to get through this, and that's usually a lot of money. And then we'll see how much homeowners and businesses are applying for loans and disaster assistance. But those numbers take a while to tally up.
Mm. You know, we caught, you know, Mayor Bloomberg caught a little flack. I don't think it was justifiable, but with the snowstorms this past season, not being prepared, or we're not given the warning. So now, and I completely agree with it, with getting the notice out, and my governor over here said, you know, get the hell out.
Mm.
As a first responder, it's in your blood. You're the same thought process.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so how do you think did New York get hit as bad as was anticipated?
I think the whole region wasn't hit as bad by the weather. However, we lost a lot of lives in this region. There were a lot of homes destroyed. If you ask those people, were we hit bad? Yeah, we were hit very bad. It depends on how this thing really, your perspective on the disaster. Again, I think we were hit pretty bad. There's some economic loss that we're going to see from this.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, this was pretty significant for us as first responders.
As you know, you do risk management also, you know, mm-hmm. your assessments and things. Irene, on a scale of 1 to 10 for you?
Well, again, this region has never seen anything as grand as that, the wind speeds and rain amount as that. You know, I was through 9/11. To me, that was traumatic. That was
right.
Tremendous impact to where I worked because my building was destroyed. That was a 10 on my scale.
Sure.
That was only limited to 16 acres. You know, this is ranging multiple states and multiple communities, but yet my home, personally, wasn't really impacted that much. We lost power for a couple of days, and a couple of branches came down. So on my scale, it wasn't too bad. So it depends on the perspective that you have on this disaster and, you know, where you put yourself in that.
So the money comes in, not the money, but people are equating damage to X amount of dollars. Is there a formula that you guys are using for, okay, here's what happens for the next time, and for recovery purposes on a whole? Is it months away for speculating, or you know, I know with Katrina, because so many citizens were affected, and I, again, my opinion that they should have got the hell out too.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody should have get the hell out instead
right.
of just if you want to go. But with those models, every internationally, because the world is so small now with the social media and the communications, another country can have an issue. Do you take that into consider with our urban area?
Oh, sure. There are many attributes that are looked at for these disasters. Thankfully, that's not my area that I have to worry about. I mean, I've certainly been in risk assessments and stuff like that, but at a very local level. I've never gone to anything grand as this. But now there are people who are going to look at this disaster and certainly look at what the impacts were and what the projections will be for an incident of this size if it were to happen to again.
Hmm. It's it's weird because I was actually doing some live updates for the show that Sunday morning, and when you're in it, the anxiety of get this storm. It's like get into the ring, just get into the ring and start slugging it out already.
Yeah.
You know that anticipation.
Yes.
is brutal, and it weighs on especially you guys who have to you guys are out there protecting Joe Citizen, Mary Citizen, if you will, and so. Let's get the fight on, or let's get ready to rumble.
Yep.
So the angst that goes on in the first responders, that's pretty much felt across the board.
Well, I mean, we support first responders and FEMA. Those guys are out there, boots on the ground. They're the ones who are really facing it, having to deal with it. FEMA has a management role and a supportive role in supporting the state and their positioning on how they're getting ready. But we felt it. We could see some of the I was here in a command center on Long Island, and you could definitely feel the tension as things were unfolding that day, as the winds were picking up and flood reports were coming in.
Do you work with the Gimbel out there in
he's in Suffolk County, so yeah. Yes, he is. Again, my region is all of New York and New Jersey, but I certainly know Rick for working with the New York City Fire Department, and now is his emergency management role. Yes.
Right. Well, Tara, thanks a lot. I mean, you did the Lord's work by helping getting the word out for me to get the people. Like to have you on again.
If I could just get one more plug.
Yeah, no, go for it.
Yeah, National Preparedness Month. This is our big month right now that we're in. We're encouraging everybody to go ahead and sign up and get to be part of this coalition. And it's FEMA.gov/private sector, all one word, private sector. And what we're asking everybody, and my boss, Dan Stone King, out of Washington, D.C., has this great thing he was bringing up. It takes 97 seconds to go onto this website and make yourself a coalition member. And all you're doing is you're signing up, and you're going to become connected. You're going to learn how to be prepared. But more importantly, we want to hear what some of these businesses are doing out in the region now to become prepared. And if there's something unique that you're doing, we want to learn, and we want to sit next to you and support you in doing that. So, again, we're trying to get the businesses from small to large to plug into this. And if you go on and do your 97-second thing, we want you to turn somebody else onto this website so they can go in and become a coalition member. Again, it's trying to get everybody educated so that they become prepared. And it's just not, business prepared. It's personal preparedness for you and your family. Right. So that's my plug for my whole thing here. So thank you.
No, thanks a lot, Terry. Appreciate it. We're going to have that stuff up on the website by 6 o'clock tonight. People can go on the website, drhradio.net, and check that out. Also with the comments page. Terry, thanks a lot. And I hope and expect for you to be returning maybe in October before we get into the other season.
Yeah, but I'd love to.
If there's anything I need to get up with National Preparedness Month, which is now that we're in September, just shoot an email and I'll put it out to the folks.
That's great. I appreciate that very much. Thank you.
Thank you. Take care of yourself. Be safe. We're gonna let's go to a station break and be right back. How's that, Dave? Go on.
If you missed part of today's program or you want to hear the show again, you can do so with the Disaster Recovery Hour podcast. Just go to www.drhradio.net, enter your email address, and the show will be delivered to your inbox. Keep you and your family safe by getting information on being prepared with the Disaster Recovery Hour podcast, available at drhradio.net.
This is Kate Valentine of the Kate Valentine UFO Show. Thank you for joining us on our journey for answers. We are traveling to you on the radio waves, the internet, and by podcasts.
Kate Valentine's UFO Show. Watching strange visitors that come and go.
The UFO Show with Kate Valentine, Friday afternoons at 1 on WVNJ.
Thank you to our sponsors who have supported the show and our journey for answers.
When disaster comes into your life and attacks your property, you need action fast. CPP Emergency Services and Restoration will find the visible and hidden damage caused by a fire or flood. With quick response and correctly applied damage mitigation protocols, CPP can save you valuable time and money and get you back in the game of life. Anytime disaster strikes, quick, focused action is what can save your property. CPP's professional staff is on call 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. To reach CPP Emergency Services and Restoration anytime, visit them on the web at www.cppems.com. That's www.cppems.com, cppems.com. CPP Emergency Services and Restoration, servicing the New York metro and tri-state area.
At least one in four businesses affected by a disaster never reopen. Let me repeat. At least one in four businesses affected by a disaster, whether it's man-made or natural, never reopen. Yet far too many business owners put off their company's disaster.
You have five new messages.
Can you sign it for me, please?
Don't forget those copies for the presentation.
Disaster plan because they let too many day-to-day things get in the way.
Is that 3 p.m. going to be all right with your schedule?
Hey, don't forget that Stanton proposes due.
Be in the conference room in 5 minutes, please.
To save your messages, press 1.
Receive dispatch. Truck 47 en route to 614 North Front Street.
Received. Be advised, truck 47, heavy fire showing from the 9th floor. Second alarm being dispatched at this time.
Disasters are unpredictable, but when you have a plan in place, you can better adapt, recover, and stay in control. So don't wait. Visit ready.gov to make your company's disaster plan. Ready.gov. It's never too late to protect your business until it is. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Homeland Security and the Ad Council.
Welcome back. We are wrapping up the show. Terry Winters, Federal Emergency Management, director. He used to be with the New York City Fire Department on the emergency medical services end of it. Plethora of intel and education. Was across the street when the towers got attacked. That was great. That was that's the kind of information we want to get in a time of a disaster. What we have with Irene rolling into town unwanted and an unwanted staying guest. Some of that information is on our website. So drhradio.net, and sign up. You know what? Some of the people that I've been dealing with, they have the insurances, they're all in place. But I said, you know what? You don't know, until, the dotted line is signed, if you will. So go ahead and fill out the paperwork, put them on notice, because it also, as Terry was talking about before, when people are coming in, they're able to gauge the amount of funding that will be needed and the amount that the citizens are affected by it. So I think people should be taking it. I'm lucky because my damage was not that bad. Really wasn't. I some sheetrock, some molding, and some tiles and things like that. So it wasn't catastrophic. My wife's not too pleased with it. And now we have a decision of carpet or tile, in the scheme of things, no life and safety, nothing like that. So it's really not a big deal. I'm just commenting on it. So some of the people should think about, I didn't lose a loved one during this tragedy. People, 16 or 17 people from the state of New Jersey, storm-related deaths. It's, so things are just things, really. Things are just things. It's stuff. George Carlin says it's just stuff. So put it in perspective. At the beginning of the show, I talked about knowing, policies and your limits and your home and where you live. You live in a high rise. You live in a low rise. You live in, condos that are side by side. Whose wall is it? Whose sump pump is it? All these things come into play when a time of a disaster happens. So it's something you should, put it down to take a look at somewhere down the line, sooner than later. And again, I'm a fortunate person because I'm in the industry, so I do my due diligence along the lines. whatever you do for a living, you're not thinking about your insurance policy. But if we can get the word out a little bit, or social media can talk about it, you know, DRH Radio, the Facebook page of it, it's monitored, and there's some good information out there, along with videos that are on our website of numerous things that you can take a look at, and maybe you can learn from them. It's, again, it's... a PSA, I always say, public service announcement here at the show. Obviously, we do need to pay our bills with advertising, but trying to do a nonprofit, if you, in theory, you know, to help you out, And so, again, I'm kind of volleying back and forth. We talked about homeowners policies and what you should really be looking for. Here's some of the things, though, with what you can do for yourself during these times, because there's plenty of people without power still. I'm doing a job today. We'll be kind of doing it in the dark because there's still no power. You really, in a time of crisis like this, where you're splintered and your skeleton crews and people want service and immediately, it's been a challenge, but not as much as what people are doing with losing all their property and when going through that. There are some people who have really who really shined, and some people who haven't shined, and I try to assist the people who aren't, and try to bring light to the fact of there are some good things that could possibly come from this. But there's a lot of things that you can take care of yourself, including with odor and with carpeting. It could be 3 or 4 days. Some people haven't even been looked at yet, and they're saying, I don't want to do anything. The insurance company, or I rent the owner of the building. It's not my carpet, but. You really can't. Is the carpet worth what the odor and the mildew and the mold possible growth and antimicrobials and such and growth? Get it out. You can help yourself out along those lines, because a lot of those building materials, that's where that odor is coming from. And you'll be amazed if you just do a little demo on your own, if you're physically able to. I'm not advocating it. I'm just saying. But if you're physically able to do it yourself, take it out. And wait, but you should get a professional company to dry your space, because drying is an actual science. I've known that for years, but I could actually put some letters at the end of my name. Spent many hours, many days training on specifically how to dry out different types of components and buildings and things like that. And with me joining on to the Service Master franchise, it says CPP during our commercials, but I am part of the Service Master franchise, and I know my fellow franchises have been swamped. And the SRMs, which is a large conglomerate chain of franchises, have come into the East Coast area, or this area, I should say, and helped out us fellow guys with equipment and labor. So there's a lot of positive things going on. It's still tragic because it's raining, and you have this anxiety about the water is going to come back. I just demoed, we dry, we can start thinking about going back to normal and rebuilding, and here comes the water again. So I understand the anxiety. I get it. Hopefully it doesn't happen. But there are things that you can assist yourself with, and that is about if you have one thought, if you're looking at toys or you're looking at furniture, you say, well, it could, then get rid of it. If you have a doubt, get rid of it. Again, it's only stuff. So couches and area rugs and fabrics. I'm talking minor things here, but when you have, if you have a big house, a small house, your stuff is your stuff. So it's got the sentimental value to it. So if it could be salvaged, you should. But also, if it's a possibility of someone getting sick because of the odor and the mold, throw the thing out. Save your pennies and buy that area rug that is not covered through insurance, or you didn't have the right insurance or whatever. So get rid of it so no one else in the house gets sick or anything like that. Again, I want to thank Terry. We were going to have Danny on today, Danny O'Brien from Academy Electric and Electrical Power Systems. It's raining again, and I know his commercial clients are having what you call, what I've been saying, the anxiety about, okay, am I going to lose power again because I need to stay up and running? So, Dan, we missed you on today's show. Hopefully we can get you next week. Dan and I have been doing work together for I don't know how many years now, and he's also a volunteer fireman. He's someday, I think next year, possibility of being the captain in the town that I live in. I mean the chief, excuse me. But Dan is Dan rather see you be prepared, even through consultation. You know, take a look and you know, just a few minutes, a web question, he'll be more than happy to answer. You know, backup generators are important. You know, we do have bigger storms. It's documented. I'm not telling you anything different. You know, you probably see your plumber more often than not. I'll throw out that little plug for my buddy Paulie Quartz and Greg up in for D&D Mechanical. Those are guys that I'm friendly with, and Paulie for 30 some odd years. You know, you might be seeing these guys more often. And also, you know what, take a look at your hot water heaters, because it's built, it's manufactured. That's mean it's manufactured to fail. It's made. It's man-made, so it's going to break sometime. So keep an eye on those types of things. Those are like during the regular types of years, during the year, you know. So, you know, that's that preparedness thing, you know. The emergency numbers, the medicines, the insurance policy. You know, these are the things, and even if you're, you know, even if your elderly parents live in your home, you know, what's the exit plan for them? You know, it's all part of the preparedness. And, you know, I know somebody passed, you know, was a victim of Irene because they didn't have the right exit plan for somebody in a wheelchair. So that could have been avoided. Most likely it could have been avoided. I got Rob from, he does Throwdown. I'll throw a little plug in for Holt Tech Video Labs and Tenafly. They do exactly what Terry and I were talking about, the video inventory for insurance purposes. So that is Holt Tech Video Labs and Tenafly. If you want to give that guy a call, tell him that the DRH Radio threw his name out there if you want to take a look. I got another question from Karen. It says, I have no water on the lower level of my house, but it's beginning to smell musty. I think it says, what do I do? If it's on the lower level, do you have a crawl space that could be, you know, it could be trapped inside there? I don't know if it's a finished area. An easy thing for somebody to do is pop some moldings. You know, you can always reattach them. You don't have to be Bob Vila, to reattach molding. You know, I'm sure somebody could help you out with that to get some of that odor. But air movement also, you know what, windows, oscillating fans in basements, are huge. I know for a fact I didn't turn mine off for 5 years at my old house. It was a good show. I hope it was informative. Go to the webpage, drhradio.net. There's the links to these, to the FEMA, .govs and VOD, New Jersey VOADs. You know, there's intel out there that can help you in this time of disaster. Do it, and do it sooner than later. Let's not forget about our troops, the major disaster in this world. Let's end the war, bring home our troops. God bless our country, and be safe out there. Take care.